That goes. All right.
Praise the Lord. Folks, for our final hymn prior to the message, let's stand and open our hymnals to 134. Hymn 134, and I'm so glad for the words to Fanny Crosby's famous hymn of the faith called Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, that's what we have as God's people. We have Blessed Assurance. And the more time you spend in the Bible and on your knees fellowshipping and supping with the Lord, the more blessed assurance you will have, as you know. Folks, we need to really be sober-minded these final days, because the Lord's fixing to come back and the devil's having a field day out there, folks. I tell you, you look around, we got some empty pews tonight, and the enemy is just having a field day. We need to be on guard, amen, as we serve the blessed Redeemer. 134, we're going to sing all three. Actually, let's sing the first and the last. First and last. Yes, indeed. Piano sounds good tonight. Aha. Thank you, Lord. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Amen. This is my story. This is my song. Listen to these words. Second stanza. Perfect submission. Perfect at rest. I in my sin. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. Oh, yes, indeed. Well, you need to praise Him all day and all night. Amen? Glory to God. What a precious Redeemer we serve. We will sing again afterwards. But let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks, and open up to the book of Revelation once again. Revelation and chapter 16. And as you know, I've forewarned you, tonight is tribulation period part 17, which is actually our final message in the series of the tribulation period. Of course, we've already preached our series on the second coming, which is the series following this one. But look here in Revelation chapter 16. Let me just show you something before we get going, church. In Revelation chapter 16, we have the finality of the second half of the tribulation period. And so far, we have covered up to verse 11. That's 16:11, Revelation. And in verse 11, you notice in Revelation 16, verse 11, they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. So in the midst of all this horrific divine judgment, the wrath of God falling on the earth, people still won't repent. This shows the depravity of stubborn man. Adam's race, I tell you, the will is so stubborn. But look here in verse number 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial. Here we have in verse 12 the sixth vial judgment / bowl judgment. Now, I'm not going to preach on that because we have preached on that already in the series on the second coming, which is where you want to go next if you're following along on the website. But it's amazing how the context picks right up from the fifth vial judgment to the sixth vial judgment, which is the beginning of Armageddon, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Messiah. So, tonight, tribulation period part 17, we are looking currently at additional features and facts concerning the tribulation period. Just some additional features and facts for you. Tonight we'll complete our series of studies on this topic, which will complete our entire study of the book of Revelation in four series. The four series move through the book in the chronological sequential order of events as follows. First, we have the series on the tribulation period, which we finished tonight. Second, there is the series on the second coming. Third, there is the series on the 75-day interval. Fourthly, there is the series on the millennial kingdom. This is a panoramic view of the entire book of Revelation. So, if you're following our studies, I highly recommend you listening to all four of these series in order to get the big picture of the Second Advent. Now, tonight we'll finish this series up with six more additional features and facts concerning the tribulation period. First, notice the four groups of Jews. I want to call your attention to the four groups of Jews who will be found in the tribulation period. There's four groups. All Jewish. Now watch. First, we have the apostate Jews. Go with me to Daniel. Hold your place in Revelation. Go to Daniel chapter 9. The first group of Jews, of course, there'll be Gentiles in the tribulation, but we're talking about the Jews specifically. There are four groups of them. The first group of Jews are the apostate Jews. This is the Israel which is not the Israel of God. To be part of the Israel of God, you've got to be a true believer, and a Jewish one, not a Gentile one. It's important. We're going to talk about that. Look here in chapter 9 of Daniel. Look with me at verse 27. Verse 27 says, "And he," who is the he? That's Antichrist, "shall confirm the covenant," seven-year covenant, "with," what's the next word? "Many." It doesn't say all. It says many, because the remnant will not sign this treaty. They will reject the Antichrist and his nonsensical treaty. But look at the word many in verse 27. Who are they for 1 week? That's Jews who are what? It begins with the U. They're signing a treaty with Antichrist. So they're unbelieving Jews. You see that? He's talking about Jews in verse 27. He says, many of them will fall for the trickery of the devil and sign that treaty and enter into covenant with the Antichrist. Now, the many of verse 27 is clearly speaking of apostate Jews who will enter into a 7-year peace treaty with the Antichrist. Why? Because of the fact that they reject the true Lord Jesus Christ, their own Messiah. They will believe the lie of the one who comes in his own name. They will think he's Jesus. And they will think he's the true Messiah. Okay? Secondly, there's another group of Jews in the tribulation period. They are, back to the book of Revelation, chapter 7, the 144,000 Jehovah Witnesses. Is that what it says? No. They're not Jehovah Witnesses. They're Jewish witnesses of Messiah. True believing Jewish Christians. Look with me in Revelation chapter 7, verse 2. This is the second group of Jews found in the tribulation period. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And of them were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of British Israelites. Wrong. Of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, he names them by their tribes. Just in case you're confused about who they are. They're physical Jews who receive Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they become the witnesses of the first half of the tribulation. Now, this grouping, the 144,000, they represent the second group of Jews in the tribulation. Thirdly, these are true believers. These Jews, 144,000, they are true believers, and they are chosen to preach the gospel of the kingdom throughout the first 42 months. Now,
will they only be in Israel, or will they be worldwide?
Oh, no. These guys are going worldwide. They'll go into every nation, to every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. And they will, I believe they'll have the gift of tongues, the supernatural gift. They'll be able to speak to these people in their own language. I believe that. Gift of tongues is coming back. Right now? Nope. Gift of tongues is not for the age of grace. Faith is for the age of grace. Now, not signs and miracles and wonders. Now, there's a third group of Jews in the tribulation period. We have a third group of Jews we call other Jewish believers. Other Jewish believers. In other words, they're not part of the 144,000 witnesses, but they're true believers in Messiah. They can be found in Revelation chapter 7. Look at verse 9. After this, that's after the first 42 months, the preaching of the 144,000 worldwide, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of some nations. No. All nations and kindreds and tongues and people. And they stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, who are they? These are those who came out of great tribulation. They received the message of the witnesses and received Jesus Christ and refused the mark of the beast. They were martyred by Antichrist and his soldiers during the tribulation period. They're in heaven in verse number 9. Now, let me ask you a question. Are any of them Jewish? Oh yeah! A whole bunch of them are Jewish. Look what it says. A great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. Israel is a nation. Of all kindreds. Jews are a kindred. Of all people. Jews are a people. Of all tongues. Jews have their own language. Now, it clearly indicates that other believing Jews, or I should say other Jewish believers, are a third group of Jews during the tribulation period. This is clear. By the preaching of the two witnesses in Jerusalem, many Jews will be saved. And the 144,000 witnesses worldwide they will win Jews from all over the world as well. Many of those who receive their message become true believers will be ethnic Jews. That's group number three. These we call other Jewish believers. Fourthly, there's a fourth final group of Jews found in the tribulation period, and they are called the faithful remnant. The faithful remnant. Now, just this week, I had a group of preachers attacking me on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn, and I have over 6,000 preacher friends on LinkedIn. Some of them aren't very friendly, though. And they're attacking me because of my teaching on the remnant of the Jews. They claim that the remnant are Gentile Christians, and that's not true. Nowhere in the Bible, every time you do a word search, every time the word remnant appears in your Bible, Old Testament or New, it's referring to Jewish true believers in Jesus Christ. They are the remnant. They are the remnant of Israel. The church is not the remnant, beloved. The church is the body of Christ, you see, made up of all true believers. Unlike Israel, who has non-believing Jews and believing Jews, which make up the remnant. Now, enough said. They are the body and bride of Christ is not the remnant. Go to Revelation chapter 12. I want to show you this fourth group called the remnant. In Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 17. And the dragon, that's the devil, was wroth with the woman. Who's the woman? We clearly studied this last week. It's Israel, ethnic Jews. He was wroth with the woman, the Jews, and went to make war with the what? Remnant. The remnant of her seed. That's the seed. Listen to me. Her remnant is the physical seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through the 12 patriarchs, the 12 sons of Jacob, okay? That could not be clearer than God has made it in his word. He went to make war with the woman and with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is the fourth group of Jews during the tribulation period called the remnant. The remnant. Romans chapter 9. Here's another verse I tried to show them that they fully rejected. Romans chapter 9. These guys get hostile when you show them the truth. They don't want to be confused with the truth. They want to believe their false doctrine. And there's nothing you can do about it. You know what Paul said in Titus chapter 3, down around verse 11? He that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth against his own soul. He says, you give them one, two, maybe three chances. If they reject the word of God, that's it. Don't waste your breath, preacher. Don't waste your breath. Look with me in Romans chapter 9. See, some of these people, they want to get you into an argument with them. Try and feed their false doctrine and your mind full of their lies. They don't want the truth. They just want to argue with you. I won't have nothing to do with it. I never have. I never will. I'll give them one, two, maybe three chances. And then they reject the word of God. There's nothing I can do for them. Look at chapter 9 of Romans. Look at verse 27. Isaiah also crieth concerning who? Israel. Israel is not spelt C-H-U-R-C-H. It's spelt I-S-R-A-E-L. Israel. Look what he says. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. A what? A remnant shall be saved. The remnant is speaking about Israel, not the body of Christ. And, you showed them this and then, oh, that's talking about the church. Yeah, where'd you go to seminary? I'll be sure not to send anybody there. Now, look with me in Romans chapter 11. Here's another one they fully rejected. Romans chapter 11. Look at verse 1. I say then, Paul asks a question to tell you who he's talking about. Hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am a what? Israelite. Paul says, I'm going to talk about Israelites here. Not the church. They're not spelt the same. Look at it. Of the seed of Abraham. He's talking about the physical seed of Abraham. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknow. Drop down to verse number 5. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a what? Remnant, according to the election of grace. Paul says, listen to me, that today, and I say to you people tonight, today, tonight, January 4th, 2015, there is a remnant of Jewish believers in Jesus Christ. They're born again just like you and me. But they are part of the remnant. And they're part of the body of Christ. They have a twofold election, being the elect nation and part of the elect bride. But let me ask you something. After the rapture hits, unbelieving Jews will go into the tribulation period. They are not the remnant until they become saved during the tribulation period. See? He will have a faithful remnant of Jewish true believers during the tribulation period, just like he has tonight in the age of grace. But they're not Gentiles. They're Jews who are saved. Okay, enough said. Now, secondly tonight, that's the four group of Jews during the tribulation period. Secondly tonight, we have, in our final facts and figures of the tribulation period, we have the city of refuge. A city of refuge during the tribulation period. Back to Revelation. Now, clearly, the scripture reveals, beloved, that during the great tribulation, that's the final 42 months, there will be a specific hiding place, a city of refuge, where the faithful remnant, Jews, will be safely hidden, okay, and supernaturally preserved by God until Messiah comes down to deliver them from the Antichrist at the end of the last half. And he will give them the kingdom promised to their seed. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us six clues, six incredible clues from the Bible concerning the actual geographical location of this hiding place, this city of refuge, if you will. First of all, go to Matthew chapter 24. Have your Bibles greased up because we're going to be moving. Matthew 24, got to get all this in tonight. In Matthew 24, the first person to speak of the place of refuge for the Jews during the tribulation period was Jesus Christ, their Messiah. Look at it. In Matthew 24, Jesus is warning the Jews that there was coming a day that they would find themselves in great tribulation for rejecting him, okay? But look what he says in Matthew 24, verse 16. Verse 16. Look at verse 15. When ye, therefore, Jews, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. That's the Antichrist in the temple at Jerusalem. You know that. That's occurring at the midpoint of the tribulation period, right? Now watch verse 16. Then, Jesus says, when you see that, then let them, Jews, which be in Judea, flee into the mountains. Now, look at the word in verse 16, mountains. What mountains? What mountains is Jesus speaking of? Second clue. We're going to come back to those mountains in a minute. Second clue. Go to Revelation chapter 12. Our first clue is that this place is surrounded by mountains. Okay? In Revelation chapter 12, look with me at verse number 6. I want you to notice another word. How many of you knows the words in the King James Bible are extremely important? Look in Revelation 12, verse number 6. Revelation 12, verse number 6. And the woman, who's the woman?
Jews.
Israel, Jews, fled into the what? Okay, time out, church. She fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place, a hiding place, prepared by who? God. This place is a creation of God. You know these white mountains we have north of us? I love taking the wife to the white mountains, get a cabin and spend a weekend up there. I love it. It's beautiful. I love those mountains. Who created them? God. God created them. This place where God will hide the Jews, he created it. He created it the way it is on purpose. I'm going to talk about it in a minute. But look at, she fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 42 months, last half of the tribulation period. What wilderness? What mountains? We're going to come back to them both. Thirdly, go to Revelation chapter 12 again. Look at verse 14, the third clue. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might, what? Fly into the wilderness. Well, why doesn't she take a horse and buggy? Why doesn't she go on foot? Why doesn't she hike it? Why doesn't she take a car or a bus? No, it says she has to fly in order to get there. It's impenetrable on foot, folks. You gotta watch these clues closely. And it's in the wilderness, by the way, where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time. That's 42 months, 3.5 years. Question from verse 14. Why a flight? Why a flight? She's fleeing from Jerusalem. Well, the Mount of Olives is right there. Why did she just use the Mount of Olives? Because that's not the hiding place, folks. That's not the hiding place. The Mount of Olives is not in the wilderness. It's next to Jerusalem, a city. But this mountain range, wherever it is, we're going to get to that, it's in a wilderness. And to get there, you have to go by air. Okay? From Jerusalem, you have to go by air. A fourth clue. Go to Isaiah 33. This is getting good. Because the Lord is giving us clue after clue after clue of where this city of refuge lies. Isaiah chapter 33. Oh, don't miss this one. Here's a good one. In chapter 33 of Isaiah, look with me at verse 13. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Yeah, they're afraid because they're getting attacked by the armies of Antichrist. Fearfulness had surprised the hypocrites, their false professors. Who amongst us shall dwell with the devouring fire? That's hell. Who amongst us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? I'll tell you who. Those who reject the Messiah. Verse 15. Here's the remnant in verse 15. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. Notice that. Verse 15, beloved, you got to get this. Verse 15 is, what the context is, verse 14, the tribulation period. Verse 15 is speaking of the remnant of Israel during the tribulation period. And look at it. Verse 16, he, the remnant, shall dwell on high. His place of defense, somebody's got a hiding place of defense, shall be the munitions of rocks. You see that? This place is rocky where he's going to hide, the remnant. Bread, look at it, bread shall be given him. Wait a minute. He's out in the boondocks in some rocky mountains, some cleft of a rock, and bread. He's being fed fresh baked bread. Where's that coming from? They ain't got no ovens. They don't even have dough.
Is that the same as manna?
Bingo. Oh, he's catching on. I believe it's going to be manna. You remember? What did the water come out of in the book of Exodus? It came out of a
rock.
That's right, Timmy. It came out of a rock. Guess what they're going to be surrounded by in Petra?
Rocks.
And what do they have to do to eat in those 40 years? Pick up the bread, the manna that God rained down. Look at this. Bread shall be given him. His what? Waters shall be sure. Listen to me. I'm going to show you geographically where this place is in a minute. But let me give you a hint. There's no water in Petra. There is no water to be had. That's why there nothing lives out there. Not even animals. They would die. Without water, you die. So how they look at his waters shall be sure. Bread shall be given him. The munitions of rocks. Look with me at verse. This is the what munition of rocks? Another question on clue four. What munition of rocks is he? That's a defense. Munitions, that's defense, right? Fifthly, another clue. Go to chapter 41 of Isaiah. Another clue concerning this mountainous wilderness which has rocks and bread comes down and water shall be supplied. Look at this. Isaiah 41, look at verse 17. 41:17. When the poor and needy seek water and there is what?
None.
He's talking about the remnant here. Watch. And their tongue faileth for thirst. That's the remnant. Hiding from the Antichrist. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open what? Rivers in high places? And fountains in the midst of the
valleys?
Hey, folks, we've got a fifth clue. There's valleys in this rocky, wilderness, mountainous region. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Look at it. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittah tree, the myrtle, the oil tree, and I will set in the desert, no water in the desert, the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. Hey, trees can't grow in a desert. Only cactus. Cactus aren't even named. Look at it. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. This passage is speaking directly of Sela Petra, where God will supernaturally feed them with springs of water. But notice the word in verse number, look with me in verse number 17. 18, I will open rivers in what? High places. So, another clue. This place has valleys, and it's high places. It's elevated. It's elevated above sea level. Sixthly, we have another clue. Go to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. I got to move quick here. In Isaiah chapter 65, look with me at verse number 8. Thus saith the Lord. As the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. Now notice in verse 8, the Jews are being destroyed. It's tribulation time. But not all of them are going to be destroyed. You see that? Because there's a remnant of true believers. 9, and I will bring forth a seed, physical seed, out of Jacob. We know that's physical Israel when you see the name Jacob. And out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. That's the mountains of Israel there. And mine elect shall inherit it. Time out, church. Verse 9. Which elect is that speaking of? That's right, Timmy. That's speaking of the elect nation Israel. It's not talking about you. You're not inheriting a mountain. You're not inheriting land. You're inheriting heaven. Because you are the elect bride, the body of Christ. They are the elect nation, so they inherit a nation. Look at it. Mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. 10. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor, a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop. Yeah, for the Antichrist. They're worshiping the beast. Jews worshiping the beast. And that furnished a drink offering unto that number. Notice the word number in verse 11. I believe that's the number of the beast. Of Revelation 13, verse 18. 12. Therefore will I number you to the sword. And ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear. But did evil before mine eyes and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Yeah, they went into covenant with Antichrist. That's unbelieving Israel. 13. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants, remnant, Jewish believers, shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. My servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart. And shall howl for vexation of spirit. God is making a distinction here between all Israel and elect Israel. Okay? The remnant of Israel, that's the Israel of God. Unbelieving Israel is not the Israel of God, even though they're ethnic Jews. Contrary to some of these boys out there preaching that all Jews go to heaven, no, they don't. No, they don't. A Jew has to be saved just like you do and me. There's no respect of persons with God. Now notice this in verse number 12. Verse 13, they did eat and drink. He's feeding them and watering them. Seventh clue. We have a seventh clue. Go to Micah. Minor prophet Micah. Quickly. And go to chapter number 2. Micah chapter 2, just after Jonah. Micah 2, look with me at verse 12. God says to Israel, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the what? Remnant of Israel, not the church. The church is in heaven in this context. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozra. Bozra? Oh, that's down in Edom. That's down by Petra. That's down by Mount Seir. Listen, folks, that's southern Jordan today. As the flock in the midst of their fold, they shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. Where is Bozra? He says, I'm going to gather them in as the sheep of Bozra. The Holy Spirit's giving you another clue of where this hiding place, the city of refuge is. Eighthly, go to Daniel. Go back from Micah, before Jonah, before Obadiah, before Amos, before Hosea, and you will hit Daniel, I guarantee it. Chapter 11. Chapter 11, an eighth clue. Look at verse 41. He, Antichrist, shall enter also into the glorious land. That's Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. Yeah, like all of them. He's going to conquer the world. But these people, notice it, almost the whole world, these people shall escape out of his hand. Even, what's that first word? Edom. Edom, where Bozra lies, where Mount Seir lies, where southern Jordan is, and where Selapetra, Petra, lies in Edom. Guess what? The Antichrist is not destroying Edom. Why? I wonder if that's the city of refuge. Amen? Why is Jordan spared? I believe there's two reasons. I believe the Antichrist is going to be half Jordanian and half Jewish, so he's going to spare his clan, his brethren, according to the flesh, and he's not going to be allowed by God to conquer Jordan, even though he could, because God's people are hiding there in the city of refuge. All right. Ninthly, finally, go to Revelation chapter 12. We got a ninth and final clue to the place where the city of refuge lies. Look at verse 14. Revelation 12, 14. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, not a place, her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent and from his soldiers. Now, this book speaks again about this wilderness. Let's put this all together before I move on. The city of refuge is one, in a mountain range. Two, in the wilderness. Three, a place prepared or created by God in advance. Four, very defensible munitions of rocks. Five, as the sheep of Bozra. Six, only Jordan escapes the domination of Antichrist. Beloved, there's only one place anywhere in the Middle East that fills all these clues together, and that is the city of Petra, located in the wilderness of Mount Seir, located in Bozra, located in southern Jordan, located where ancient Edom was in Mount Seir. You've got the wilderness, you've got the hiding place, you've got the mountain range, you've got the munition of rocks, you've got Petra. It's all there. Everything the Holy Spirit gave us. Now, for these two reasons and more that we won't get into for time's sake, I believe that Petra is the city of refuge for the Jews during the last half. Okay, thirdly tonight, quickly, I want to show you the faithful remnant, who they are, the faithful remnant. Go to Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. We're just putting finishing touches upon our study of the tribulation period tonight. And one of these finishing touches is the faithful remnant, that fourth group of Jews that are in the tribulation period. Look at it. Chapter 28 of Isaiah, verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. God is addressing the political leadership of the Jews in Israel in verse 14. He says, you're scornful. You don't believe my prophets, and I'm going to scorn you. Look at it. 15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. Yeah. Peace treaty with the Antichrist is a covenant of death. It leads to eternal death in the lake of fire. And with hell are we at agreement. This is what they say. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. They said, the Antichrist will protect us. No, he won't. No, he won't. He'll kill you. Look at it. 16. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that what? Believeth shall not make haste. God says, I have sent my son to Zion, Jerusalem, Messiah. And whoever believes in Messiah will not make haste to enter into agreement with who? Antichrist. That's right, Timmy. They won't make haste because they know the truth. They believe on Messiah, Jesus Christ. Verse 16 here is speaking of the faithful remnant of Jews, believers in the tribulation period. They're not going to Antichrist. They're going to Petra. They're going to hide from Antichrist. Now, these who believeth are the non-many of Daniel 9:27, who will refuse the mark of the beast, refuse to have anything to do with the Antichrist, and will not make haste to sign that peace treaty. They'll say, don't do it, boys. Bad news if you do that. Fourthly, tonight, notice the survival of the remnant. Isaiah chapter 10. This remnant will survive because they're supernaturally preserved at Petra until the touchdown of Messiah at the end of the second half. Look at it. Isaiah chapter number 10. Look with me at verse number 20. 20. And it shall come to pass in that day, great tribulation, that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, yeah, one third, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, Antichrist, but shall stay, trust upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Whenever you see that term, that title, the Holy One of Israel, it's talking about the Messiah. Always is talking about the Messiah. In truth, notice they're in truth now, the remnant. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of the church. No, wrong version. The remnant of Jacob, physical Israel, unto the mighty God. Glory to God. It's the remnant. 22, for though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. See, only a small portion. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. Why? For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all the land. He's going to consume every unbelieving Jew. He's going to destroy them all. Only the remnant will survive. Okay, fifthly, we have the protection of the remnant. Go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, and look with me at verse number 8. Notice the supernatural protection of this remnant during the last half of the tribulation. Verse 8, we read, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Why was Abraham God's friend? He what? Begins with a B. He was a Jew, and he believed in the Lord, right? He believed by faith. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, Israel, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee. Look at this. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Replacement theologians don't like these verses. They cut them out of their Bibles with their spiritual scissors. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee
with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they shall that strive with thee shall perish. God's going to destroy them all. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. You know the Antichrist and his armies? They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. He's going to annihilate them all. Why? For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and break them small, and shalt make them hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. That's Messiah. They will glory in Jesus Christ like you and I do today. Finally, they'll receive the Holy Spirit. Now, here is the divine promise from God to protect and preserve the remnant of Israel in the midst of tremendous persecution, beloved, from Antichrist during the Great Tribulation as he attempts to destroy every living Jew. He won't, because God won't let him. He's going to give them their kingdom promised to Abraham. Now, sixthly and finally tonight, see the divine provision for the remnant. Now, since it will be forbidden for anyone to buy or sell without the mark of the beast at this time, God will have to provide for the remnant miraculously, as he did for Israel in the wilderness, like Timmy said, coming out of Egypt for 40 years. Go to Revelation chapter 12 again. God will do this. He will feed them supernaturally from heaven. Look at it. Revelation 12, verse 14. And to the woman, Israel, remnant, two wings of a great eagle, fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished. Physically. They still have physical bodies here. They need food and water, or they'll die. God provides it for them for 3.5 years. Amen. Notice the word nourished in verse 14. Yes, indeed, beloved. Our God will supernaturally provide food and water for the faithful remnant for 42 months, the last half of the heptad. The book of Job contains 42 chapters, beloved. 42 chapters. The exact number of months in the Great Tribulation. And what happens in chapter 42 of Job's book? Listen. Job is a type of the remnant going through the tribulation period. In the 42nd chapter of Job, don't turn there, just trust me, he's restored. He's restored by God, and he receives a double blessing than what he had before his time of tribulation and persecution. Other passages you can read concerning this provision for God's elect nation, Israel, in the tribulation period are Isaiah 41, verse 17 through 20. Isaiah 65, verse 8 through 14, to see this divine provision of God for believing Israel during the tribulation period. Now, before I pray and close, let me say this. Petra, the city of rock, it's called, in Edom at Mount Seir in the wilderness of Jordan, is a place that is impenetrable by motor vehicle. Okay? You can march all the military tanks you want down there, Antichrist. You can't get in. There is one opening. Listen to me. I did research on this. There's one opening into Petra. There is a huge flat plateau inside Petra. But surrounded on every side are these mountainous munitions of rocks that cannot be penetrated. If you try to climb over them, you might get poked right through the... You might get impaled. You know, they're so pointy. But there is an opening that you can go in there. It's a mile long. It starts in the... It's a passageway that can only fit one person. One person at a time. It's a mile long, and it leads through the rocks of Petra into the plateau, the valley. So, picture this. Here's the remnant of Israel. They flee from Jerusalem after the abomination is set up. They fly... I don't know if God's going to have a great eagle, whatever. He's going to get them down there, and they're going to go through this little tiny passageway. Do you realize what will happen if any of Antichrist soldiers try to follow through that little crevice? It's like 18 inches wide. They come through there, guess what? They're going to get shot in the head one by one as they come in there. every single one of them will be killed by the Jews. It's impenetrable. You see what I'm saying? That's why it has to be Petra. Now, folks, let me say this in closing. Tonight we finish up our series in the book of Revelation completely. And it has been such a blessing for me teaching y'all through the book of Revelation. It's just, there's so much that the Holy Spirit is opening our eyes to in these last days of this dispensation. We're seeing things from the scriptures, folks, that we've never seen before. And that is the Holy Spirit opening up the sealed book and giving us spiritual understanding and insight into these things that are coming upon planet Earth. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for the four series in the book of Revelation. The tribulation period, the second coming of Christ, the 75-day interval, and the millennial kingdom. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for carrying us through, for teaching us by your anointing power, unveiling the scriptures like never before, and showing us what is coming down the pike. I thank you, Lord, that our eyes are open on the truth, and we have a great responsibility as a church. Because we know these things beforehand, we must warn the wicked. We must warn the lost. We must warn the world to escape the wrath that is to come by coming to Jesus Christ today and being saved and born again and regenerated spiritually. Oh God, we have the greatest thing this world has to offer. It's the Son of God. It's eternal life, the free gift of God. And Father, we pray that you would help us as a church to get the word out. We want to bring a great harvest of souls with us to heaven, Lord. And by your grace and Holy Spirit and word, we can. Help us to be faithful in these last days of the last days. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals and stand. Closing hymn tonight, we'll finish up with hymn number 65. I think this hymn says it all. We'll sing all four of hymn 65. I'm glad there still is an old rugged cross to come to. Amen? All four, beloved. Yes, indeed. We thank you for that cross, O Lord. Let's stand. Sing great. Oh, so sorry, folks. Oh, yeah, I see why. I see why. Quiet, we got the wrong number. There we go. That should work much better. Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So much cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I I will cling to the old rugged cross. And exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, as a wondrous for me, for the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to the Calvary. So at last
sadly bound. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
And the third,
in the old rugged cross, so blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will claim someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
Amen! Praise the Lord!
So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophy at last I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Timmy, dismiss us in prayer. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. we'll be finishing up the book of Haggai.
Thank you, Lord, for the word today, Lord God. Please bless everybody that couldn't make it tonight, Lord, that they're sick or whatever, that you would heal them up for Wednesday night. And we ask that you would give us traveling mercies on the way home. It's slippery, Lord. And bless everybody that came tonight in the bloody of Son. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.